Chapter 3. Reignite. Sometimes you need to take a moment to reconnect with what you really love to do. We can spend a lot of time lying to ourselves and pursuing goals that aren't ours in the first place. Under these circumstances, it's not surprising that we can end up feeling stuck or unmotivated. Let's see how you can reignite the spark and boost your motivation. A. Do more of what you love. If you want to feel more motivated and happier, do more stuff that makes you happy every day. Sounds simple? Well, in theory, it is. However, strangely enough, you can spend a lot of time doing things that fail to make you happy. How often have you engaged in fun activities that actually leave you unfulfilled at the end of the day? Does watching your favorite TV shows provide you with the deep sense of fulfillment you're searching for? One reason you may be unfulfilled is that you're acting as a consumer instead of acting as a creator. As a human being, you are highly creative and can derive a great deal of pleasure from creating things. For instance, you may enjoy creating art or writing, or you may like building things with your hands. But when you rely on consumption instead of creation for your fulfillment, it often doesn't work. Now, if using your creativity is such an enjoyable thing, why do you spend so much time consuming rather than creating? First, being a consumer is much easier than being a creator. For example, watching YouTube videos is a passive activity that requires little real effort. Second, consuming doesn't require you to face your fears and self-doubts, such as the fear of not being good enough, the fear of failure, etc. Third, you might feel prone to consume because it's what most of your peers are doing. For instance, you may party every weekend because your friends do so, even though other more productive activities would make you much happier. Another reason you may fail to do what makes you happy is social conditioning. Your parents, your teachers, your peers, and society as a whole probably expect you to act in a certain way. In the past, you may have been told what type of career you're supposed to pursue, how you should spend your weekends, what type of house you should purchase, or when you should marry. The truth is that only you know what you should be doing with your life. And if you're unsure, it's your responsibility to figure out the correct path for you. Nobody else can ever do that for you. So, are you spending enough time pursuing activities that make you happy? Or are you neglecting them in favor of less fulfilling activities? Exercise. If possible, give up doing what doesn't make you happy. Using your action guide, make a list of what you do every day, or refer to the list you've created for the time log exercise. Then ask yourself, which of these activities brings me the sense of fulfillment I'm looking for? Be radically honest with yourself. You may realize some of the things you do are mere distractions. Identify activities that require little brain power, such as playing with your phone, checking social media, or watching YouTube videos. Is it possible you spend too much time on such non-productive activities? Now, let's have a closer look at what does make you happy. Identify what makes you happy. Do you really know what constitutes a good day for you? Which activities make your day a great one? Is it spending more time on a side project? Reading more? Seeing your friends more often? I invite you to do more of what makes you happy. Even better, I encourage you to schedule a specific block of time to carry out these activities. Simply spending 10 to 15 minutes every day doing things you love can lift your spirits and increase your well-being. Exercise. Identify what you love to do. 1. Using your action guide, answer the following questions. When was the last time you had a great day, and why? What did you do? Perhaps you tried something new, worked on a passion project, or met your friends. What are you most looking forward to doing every day? If you could do only one activity you love every day, which one would it be? What activities would allow you to feel completely fulfilled at the end of your day? How would you describe your ideal day to your best friend? Is there something you enjoyed doing in the past but don't do any longer? Is there something you've always wanted to try but have never mustered the courage to attempt? 2. Take a pen and a sheet of paper, or use the action guide, and write down at least 20 things you love doing. These can be simple things, such as going for a walk or listening to music. Make sure you're being completely honest with yourself. Nobody else needs to see your list. Here's mine. 1. Reading. 2. Learning new things. 3. Studying the human mind. 4. Learning about the nature of reality. 5. Helping people succeed. 6. Helping people design their ideal life. 7. Playing sports. 8. Going for walks. 9. Dancing. 10. Talking about ways to change the world. 11. Making a difference. 12. Improving things. 13. Having deep one-on-one conversations. 14. Connecting with people at a deep level and identifying their passions. 15. Making people laugh. 16. Inspiring people. 17. Writing. 18. Learning foreign languages. 19. Living in different countries and learning their culture, language, and way of thinking. And 20. Observing people and animals. B. Identify what really motivates you. Do you struggle to motivate yourself? Sometimes, do you not only spend too much time on unfulfilling activities, but do you also pursue the wrong goals? The truth is, we seldom lack motivation, but we often set the wrong goals, set the right goals for the wrong reasons, or we choose not to go after what we want due to fear. To set the right goals for you, it is important for you to be radically honest with yourself and assess whether your current goals are the right ones for you. Identify your strengths and leverage them as often as possible. Clarify your values and live by them. And nail your vision, making sure most of your goals are aligned with it. Let's look at each of these points one by one. Pursuing the right goals. While you may believe you're targeting the right goals, this is not always the case. In reality, you may pursue certain goals because it's seen as the cool thing to do, and you might pursue others because they will give you the external approval you seek, or so you hope. Even when you do set an appropriate goal, you may approach it the wrong way. In short, you may be making one of the following three mistakes: A. Idealizing your goals. B. Pursuing goals to get other people's approval. And/or C. Working on the right goals in the wrong way. Let's examine each of these mistakes. A. Idealizing your goals. A common problem is idealizing your goals and making them more exciting than they are. To avoid this mistake, you must be willing to be brutally honest with yourself. For example, just because you get excited after seeing a video of a man traveling around the world while working online doesn't mean it's actually what you want to do. You see an ad telling you how to make money from home with Forex trading doesn't mean you actually want to spend your day glued to your computer trading currencies. Or you see a man with a six-pack doesn't mean you're willing to do the work to develop a six-pack of your own, or that a six-pack is something you actually want. My point is that too often you may pretend to want something you don't actually desire. You might be picturing an ideal outcome that has nothing to do with reality and project feelings of joy you won't actually experience once you achieve your goals. As you do this, you will distract yourself from what truly matters to you. This situation is more common than you might realize. In fact, I would bet that it's what you're doing right now in at least one area of your life. Idealizing their goals is why many people spend years working on a goal only to realize it doesn't make them any happier when they finally reach it. To avoid this trap, it is important for you to enjoy the journey rather than hoping some type of accomplishment will make you happy in the future. Therefore, learn to be brutally honest with yourself and ask yourself whether the thing you're dreaming of is really, really, really what you want. Exercise. Identify what you really want. Using the action guide, write down your major goals. Then ask yourself, is this really my goal, or is it someone else's goal? Is it exciting me? Do I feel drawn to it, or do I have to continually push and struggle? What will I gain from achieving this goal? And is it what I really want? Will it really improve my life? B. Pursuing goals to gain other people's approval. For years, I envisioned myself traveling around the world while working on my online business. However, when I quit my job and finally had the opportunity to do so, I realized it wasn't necessarily what I wanted. Actually, it turns out, I enjoy having structure and stability in my life. Traveling all the time isn't all that appealing to me, though occasional travel is wonderful and mind-expanding. I lied to myself because I thought it would be cool to be seen as the international traveler. I thought it would make me feel superior. I thought people would envy me and see me as successful. However, what I really wanted was the freedom to travel whenever I felt like it, without necessarily doing any actual travel. I yearned for the freedom to set my own schedule and needed to have the choice. The bottom line is, often we pursue noble goals, hoping to be loved and appreciated by others when we attain them. Wanting to be seen as cool, altruistic, or successful, we can spend most of our life trying to achieve goals that aren't ours. No wonder we end up lacking in motivation. What about you? Would you still pursue your current goals if the opinion of other people didn't matter at all? Or would you do something else more exciting to you? The absolute key is to focus on goals that feel right to you. Your goals don't have to be about changing the world. The most important thing is that you are radically honest with yourself and accept whatever goal appears to be pulling you. If your goal is to be a good mom, be a good mom. If your goal is to draw beautiful pictures, do so. Only you know what you want. So don't dismiss anything small or big. Simply do more of what you love and see where your journey leads you. C. Working on the right goals in the wrong way. It is also possible that you set the right goals but work on them in the wrong way. In his book, Drive: The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us, Dan Pink argues that three things act as effective motivators. These are autonomy, the urge to direct our own lives; mastery, the desire to get better and better at something that matters; and purpose, the yearning to do what we do in the service of something larger than ourselves. It is interesting to note that people's main motivators can be different. Some people will value autonomy the most, while others will prefer mastery. Yet others will give more weight to purpose. If you currently lack motivation, it might be time to look at your goals and see how they align with your main motivators. For instance, if you value autonomy, perhaps you'll enjoy your work more if you negotiate with your boss to gain more independence and flexibility at work. If you're more purpose-driven, perhaps you can spend time working on a project that makes you feel as though you're making a difference, whether it be at work or in your private life. If you value mastery, perhaps you can set specific targets to reach every day so that you can measure your progress accurately over time. You could also create an internal contest with some of your colleagues or set up a challenge that motivates you. In her book, Not Another Motivation Book, Joanna Jast explains how she tried to cut down on carbs and sweets but failed for years. Even though she hired a wellness coach, she struggled to improve her diet. According to her, the main reason for her failure was that she didn't approach her goal with the right motivational driver: mastery. To align her goal with her main motivational driver, she started setting herself challenges revolving around the idea of resisting sweets, continuously seeking to break old records. This method worked wonders for her. This shows that if you repeatedly failed to achieve a specific goal in the past, consider tackling it differently by using another motivational driver. If you value autonomy the most, try to formulate your goal in terms of how much more autonomy it would give you. Or design it in a way that provides you with more autonomy as you work on it. For example, working from home one day a week. If you value purpose the most, frame your goal in a way that makes you feel as though you are contributing to something you care about, and measure your progress accordingly. For example, count how many people you help, or how many thank you emails you receive. If you value mastery the most, consider setting challenges that motivate you and allow you to track your progress over time. For example, set sales targets, the number of miles to run, etc. Now that we've seen the main mistakes to avoid when you pursue your goals, let's identify your strengths so that you can leverage them and boost your motivation. Leveraging your strengths. At my previous job, it felt as though every day was a struggle. I didn't feel competent, neither did I enjoy what I was doing for the most part. This is because I wasn't utilizing my strengths or my talents, and I had no passion for what I was doing. On the other hand, I really enjoy what I'm doing now. Sure, I have my fair share of self-doubts, but my days are far more enjoyable than they used to be. This is because I leverage my strengths while making the most of my introverted personality, while living by my values, freedom, autonomy, contribution, etc., and while pursuing my vision, helping people improve their lives. I'm no longer sitting at my desk believing I should be somewhere else. Instead, I spend my time doing what I feel good at. My point is that if every day seems like an uphill battle, it is likely you're spending too much time doing things you're not good at, and too little time using your strengths and your natural abilities. By failing to leverage your strengths, you're doing a disservice to yourself and to the people who could benefit from what you have to offer. You're also making your life harder than necessary. Exercise. Find your strengths. Use your action guide and answer the following questions. What are your biggest strengths? What do you believe only you can do? What is unique about you? What do you find so easy to do that you genuinely don't understand why others have difficulties doing the same thing? What do people compliment you on? If you don't know the answer to this one, ask your friends, family members, or colleagues. Now, let's see how you can identify your personality and design your day in a way that better aligns with it. If you need help to find your strengths and your passion, download my free book, Find What You Love, 5 Tips to Uncover Your Passion Quickly and Easily. Understanding your personality. Are you an extrovert or an introvert? Do you prefer to work by yourself or to be part of a team? Your personality traits are important as they will influence how you work and determine how you spend your day in general. For instance, if you're an introvert, you might prefer to spend more time on your own rather than working as part of a team all day long. Or you may prefer a quiet environment rather than a loud one. Your communication style might be different as well. Below are a few traits shared by a majority of introverts who generally prefer to spend time alone to replenish themselves. Dislike small talk but enjoy deep conversation. Prefer small groups. Think before they speak. Require an invitation before they speak. Avoid speaking until they feel they have something important to say. Listen more than they talk. Talk a lot when the topic is something about which they are really passionate. Choose depth over breadth. For example, they would rather know a few people very well than know several people casually. Keep their enthusiasm and excitement to themselves and share only with people they know very well. Prefer to know a lot about a small cluster of topics than know a little bit about a wide range of topics. Need alone time to think, rather than having to endure brainstorming sessions. Dislike interruptions. Are uncomfortable with conflict. And need a lot of preparation before addressing an audience and have difficulty speaking for long periods of time. For more on introversion, refer to my book, The Thriving Introvert, Embrace the Gift of Introversion and Live the Life You Were Meant to Live. Now, let's have a look at a few traits shared by a majority of extroverts, who tend to talk first and refine their thinking later. Talking allows them to organize their ideas. Love talking with people. Talk more than they listen. Like teamwork. Like to solve problems by discussing them. Feel energized when they mingle with other people. Enjoy being the center of attention. Feel isolated by too much time spent alone. And enjoy talking about a variety of different topics. As you can see, you may choose to spend your day differently based on your level of introversion or extroversion. If you're an introvert and don't have enough time for yourself during the day, you'll probably end up exhausted. If you're an extrovert and don't have enough human interaction, you may feel lonely. What about you? Are you more of an introvert or an extrovert? Or perhaps you're an ambivert, for example, somewhere in the middle. Now, do you prefer to be an expert, or would you rather be part of a group? This is what Nicholas Lohr, author of The Pathfinder, called maestro versus tribal. These are another two personality traits worth mentioning. Tribal people like to work for an organization and thrive when working with others toward a common goal. Rather than focusing on mastering a specific skill, they enjoy tackling a variety of activities and don't mind moving from job to job within an organization. On the other hand, maestros are the specialists. They like to be experts in a specific area, and they derive a large part of their identity from what they do as opposed to the organization they belong to. Consequently, it is essential they work on something they are passionate about. Personally, I'm an introverted maestro. I like to work by myself or in very small groups, and I enjoy delving deeper into specific topics rather than performing a variety of tasks. What about you? Do you see yourself as a tribal or a maestro? And are you able to express this aspect of your personality at work? Additionally, you might want to check out the following personality tests, MBTI and Big Five personality tests. You'll find free versions of them online. If you want to delve deeper, you can also take paid tests. Exercise. Leverage your personality. Based on what you know about yourself and your personality, what one thing could you do to express your personality better? What impact would it have on your life? Identifying your core values. When you live a life that is out of alignment with your core values, you may feel resistance or stress, or you may feel as though something isn't right. On the other hand, when you're clear about your values, you can set the right priorities and move toward your goals with confidence. What about you? What do you value the most in life? Let's see some examples of core values. Let's say family is your number one priority and you're offered a promotion at work. If the new job requires you to work longer hours, you might decline the promotion. On the other hand, if you're career-oriented, you'll most likely accept the promotion. Another value could be freedom. If you have a strong desire for flexibility and autonomy, you may prefer being self-employed, even if you end up working longer hours or making less money. Yet another value could be connection. If so, you may be willing to sacrifice some flexibility in exchange for strong bonds with your coworkers. As you can see, when it comes to core values, there is no right or wrong answer. The key is to identify your top values, rank them in order of importance, and design your life in a way that allows you to live by your most important values. Exercise. Align your life with your top values. Complete the table in your action guide. In the first column, write down your top five values. In the second column, write down whether or not you are living by your values. In the third column, write down what you could do to align your life better with your top values. Creating your vision. Your vision gives your life meaning and determines what you should do every day. If you lack motivation, it might be a good idea to spend time thinking of where you want to be 5 or 10 years from today. The more inspirational your vision, the more motivated you will be to take the necessary action to make it a reality. An effective vision is created, or uncovered, based on the following things: your talents and strengths, what you're naturally gifted at and/or enjoy doing; your values, what's the most important to you, or what you're really about; your personality, whether you're an introvert or extrovert, prefer teamwork or working by yourself, etc.; your skills, what you've learned in the past. The skills you've developed may be stepping stones toward your ultimate vision. Your passions, what you are passionate about. This could be passion projects you've worked on in the past, work on now, or would like to work on in the future. This could be the subjects you want to learn more about, or this could be anything you're naturally drawn toward. Your life experiences, which includes challenges you overcome and past accomplishments you feel proud of, for instance. By combining each of the elements mentioned above, you can remove a great deal of inner resistance and create a vision you are able to move toward with enthusiasm. When you make effective use of your talents and strengths, you stop feeling as though you're fighting an uphill battle. When you live by your core values, you feel grounded and honest with yourself, and you experience less guilt or shame. When you utilize your personality, you have more energy and feel better about yourself. When you analyze your skills, you generate ideas for your future career and find ways to accelerate your success. When you follow your passion, you feel more energetic and are more likely to persevere over the longer term. When you look back at your life experiences, you can identify your strengths and find meaning in the challenges you overcome. For instance, it's common for people to find their purpose in helping others overcome similar problems they had to face themselves. What about you? Do you have a clear and compelling vision for your life? Exercise. Identify your vision. Complete the corresponding exercises in your action guide. To learn how to find your passion and design a career you love in greater depth, you can refer to the Passion Manifesto, Escape the rat race, uncover your passion, and design a career and life you love. C. Set exciting goals. Do you have a clear reason to wake up to every day? If not, you risk wandering through life instead of creating the life you want. Having inspiring goals is critical to your long-term success. Sometimes it's possible to feel stuck because you've lost track of your long-term goals, or you don't have clear goals that excite you enough. If so, you might want to A. reconnect with your original whys, B. strengthen your whys, and C. make new plans. A. Reconnecting with your original whys. Have you lost track of why you're doing what you're doing? If so, perhaps you need to reconnect with your original vision. How did you feel when you first started your current relationship? What were your deepest aspirations? What was your level of excitement when you started your business or career? What were you trying to accomplish, and why did it matter to you? Exercise. Reconnect with your vision. Using your action guide, take some time to reconnect with your vision. Clarify it and seek to reignite the original spark. B. Making new plans. When you lack motivation, consider making new plans. Occasionally, I like to sit down and revise my long-term vision. I ask myself what I really want from life, and I listen to my emotions, leaning toward what excites me. This is because I understand that creating a vision that pulls me is far more powerful than relying on willpower alone. What about you? What's pulling you? What do you want to achieve in life? Exercise. Make new plans. Let your imagination run wild, and make sure you pay attention to any sign of excitement you may experience. Is there a goal or idea I feel particularly drawn toward? Is there anything that makes me feel really good? Is there something I feel like doing right now or can't wait to make happen in the near future? Remember, how you feel is important. Your emotions tell you a great deal about yourself and what you value the most. C. Strengthening your whys. Humans like to believe we act rationally, but in truth, we tend to select goals based on how they'll make us feel in the future. How you feel about a goal is more important than how logical it seems. Thus, you must create an emotional connection with your goals and strengthen that connection as you progress toward it. For example, eating healthy food might make perfect sense. It can allow you to live longer, have more energy, and feel better about yourself. However, it doesn't mean you're going to feel motivated to eat more healthily. Unless you have a strong reason and one you can relate to at an emotional level, you will likely struggle to improve your diet. If you lack motivation right now, be honest with yourself. Do you have a strong emotional connection with your goals? If not, strengthen your why by reframing your goals or replacing them with more exciting ones. Remember, your why becomes more powerful when aligned with your personality, values, and vision. So why is your goal important to you? How will it change your life once you achieve it? Let's assume you want to create an online business. Why is this important? Is it just to make money, or is there something more? If it's for the money, you'll probably give up when you fail to obtain the results you want quickly enough. However, if you have strong emotional reasons, you're more likely to persevere during the tough times. Perhaps you'd like to create an online business because you want to be independent and have no boss to tell you what you do. Autonomy. Be able to visit your parents more often. Family. Spend more time with your partner and kids. Family. Spend time doing what you love. Passion. Take longer vacations. Freedom. Family. Passion. Travel around the world. Freedom. And work on your own. Autonomy. Alignment with your introversion. Close your eyes and imagine all the benefits of achieving your goal. How does it make you feel to spend more time with your family? What about being your own boss? Traveling around the world? Feels pretty good, doesn't it? Now, which goal do you think will energize you the most? The original goal of making more money or the emotionally charged one? In both cases, the goal is the same, creating an online business, but the why behind it changes everything. As you now understand, having an emotional connection to your goal is paramount. Effective goals energize you. They tap into your core values and are aligned with your strengths and passion. And the more emotional reasons you come up with, the more motivated you'll feel. exercise. Strengthen your whys. Sit down, take a pen and a piece of paper, and answer the questions. What's the most important and exciting goal I want to pursue right now, and why? What are all the reasons it must happen? Come up with at least 20 reasons for achieving this goal. If you can, try to come up with 100 reasons. To find your passion and make a living from it, read my book, The Passion Manifesto: Escape the Rat Race, Uncover Your Passion, and Design a Career and Life You Love.